This morning we look at Psalm chapter 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Drop down to verse 10, if you would. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I've been taken back by the situation over there in Russia and Ukraine, and the bloodshed that is going over there in Ukraine. It's important for us to see the bravery of those people to fight against the big bear. The Red Russia is still there. And we know, as I preached on Ezekiel 38 and 39 a couple months ago, it's all just leading up to the time of the tribulation period when the Antichrist will appear and the Battle of Armageddon, finally, that will come out of the north. The enemies will. David speaks here of mine enemies and how he needs to stand against them. But he's not going to lose his joy while he fights the enemies. For God will give him victory in one way or another, even when his father and mother forsake him. The Lord's always there to take him up. This morning I'd like to speak to you about soldiers and battle. What the Bible says about that, certainly as we read, right here we see David. He was a man of war. God wouldn't even let him build the temple.
That was a song of Moses too, brother.
Yeah, amen. All of that going on. But this morning, well, we're going to see what God does say about all of this. And that God may bless it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for David. Thank you for instructing us, yes, in the New Testament also, of how we need to be Christian soldiers. Help us to learn and grow. Take our stand in Jesus' name. Amen. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. First Timothy chapter 1. Call your attention to verse 18, where Paul says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." There's a spiritual battle going on. David had his physical battles of the literal blood being shed, many battles that he led. Of course, we're reading through the Bible in a year, and we've come across some of that already, and seen those things, and we'll see more to come. Where it's a fact of life that there's going to be enemies. There's going to be bloodshed. And good men need to do something, or evil will prevail. So we want to be the ones that will be counted. Look at chapter 6 in 1 Timothy. Chapter 6 and in verse 12. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Amen. There's a fight going on. It's bad enough that men have to fight enemies, but then it's also taken out on the women and children. We see Putin over there. He doesn't care. He's bombing everybody he can, shedding the life, those little children, innocents. God hates that. The shedding of innocent blood, especially babies. And boy, it just bothers me in no way. Every way possible of what Biden is allowing to happen in our land. And backing parenthood, so forth, and giving them millions to be able to kill more babies. Innocent bloodshed. Oh, well, it gets under my skin, no doubt about it. But of course, their whole idea is that, well, it's not a baby in the womb. It's just a fetus. It's just a mass of tissue and so forth and all of that, which is a direct lie. It has nothing to do with science. Amen. Science tells you that it's alive. Heartbeat and everything else. You can see it on sonograms now and everything. And Did you notice a couple weeks ago, Biden's known for all of his mistakes that he makes all the time. Can't put two sentences together, you know. But he blurted out about children and so forth and aborting. And he said something about aborting a child. He slipped. He said, child, a baby. He knows it's a child. Anybody with any brains knows it's a child. It's a baby. The Bible describes a pregnant woman as being with child. In Exodus 21:22, in 2 Samuel 11:5, in 1 Kings 3:17, In Isaiah 26:17, in Jeremiah 30, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when you're pregnant, you're with child. That's what it is. And anything else is shedding innocent blood, brother. Ungodly. Ronald Reagan had to face the same thing, you know, when he was in and all of that, and took a Christian stance against it. And one of the things he said, I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born. Amen. I'll tell you. But even as Christians, we have to fight the enemy. It involves the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to give the victory for us. But we need to fight a good warfare, just as these verses said that we just read. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 4. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. You're a soldier whether you know it or not. You need to realize you're in a battle. Good warfare. Hardness comes upon soldiers. Onward, Christian soldiers, brother. I want you to see with some different kinds of soldiers this morning and how you need to be a good soldier, as it's told about over and over again, even as David was. 1st of all, you see those that get all dressed up in their uniform and everything, but they don't do anything. They're parade soldiers. They're the kind that you see marching down the street, you know, Memorial Day or 4th of July or something like that. A lot of those guys haven't known warfare. They're parade soldiers. They just want to be seen of men. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. There's good soldiers and there's bad soldiers. We're going to look at both of them this morning. Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Again in verse 5 he said, and when thou prayest, thou should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. A parade soldier. Christians are soldiers. But how many are involved in the warfare? How many just want to be seen of men? Some folks come to church for that, you know, and they dress up, you know, with expensive clothing and everything. You know, you see them in big churches and a lot of times liberal churches even. And, boy, they just they go to church to see what Susie's wearing, you know. They're seeing what the new fashion is or whatever it is, you know. They do these things to be seen of men. And there are parade soldiers, there's no doubt about it. Being in the military, you know those kind of guys, you run into them. They do it just for show. Then, praise God, you got the frontline soldier. You got the soldier that's going to go right against the enemy, just eyeball to eyeball. Now, he doesn't want to be seen. He's just the opposite. I mean, he'll crawl on his belly. He'll keep a low profile. He doesn't want to be noticed. The smaller he can get, the better it is. He's more mightier that way. When you're smaller, you're mightier. So it is in the Christian life, too. Humble yourself. Get the strength of the Lord to be able to war good warfare. It's safer to keep a low profile. Those that have shiny metal bars on their shoulders, captains and so forth, generals, though, if they're up on the front lines, boy, they don't want that. They don't want to be noticed for their rank and everything else. They'll put mud on their bars and everything else, so the sun doesn't reflect off of it and give them away. They'll get down in the mud, get their face into it in their shoes. You know, as long as you stay in the foxhole, you're safe. Get out of the foxhole and attack. Defend your territory. Hold that. Then it's something different, isn't it? You don't get hurt in a hard day. You got to adapt to different conflicts that come your way. You got to be flexible. Things you didn't plan for. The generals and so forth always have a plan of where the troops are going to go, what they're going to do, and everything else. But those plans don't work out so hot sometimes. You've got an enemy that is smart also. So you got to adapt to those different conflicts, whether it be on the sea or the air, or using tanks, or hand grenades, or gas, whatever it is. Romans 1:15, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to those that are in Rome. In the next verse, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm a debtor to the barbarians and the Greeks. He got in the fray, Paul did. Yeah, he had his body beaten up, stripes on his back. Probably had some kind of eye disease from the stoning and everything that he went through. Left for dead, stoned him so bad. He wasn't one that would just go back to the barracks and talk about it. There was a time for action. Time to get in the fray. Look at Romans chapter 13, if you would. Romans chapter 13. It says in Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. What's armor for? That's when you're in a battle, brother. That's when you're a soldier. Soldiers put on armor. Different kinds of different events that go on through history. they had different kinds of armor. We're talking about battling spiritually. That our enemy, the devil, he's got cohorts as well. People that hate God. It's a terrible to think and see what's going on in our Congress and the decisions that are being made and the wickedness coming out of Pelosi and Schumer and all of the Democrats getting behind all of that kind of stuff, shutting down free speech, not letting Christians even speak in colleges and so forth. Where you're supposed to go and debate these things of life. Taking away our freedom and all of that thing. Praise God for Elon Musk. Amen. You know he's not saved yet. He got fed up with it. With Twitter. So he just bought him. Amen. And now he's going back trying to get a lower price. You know. If a billion here or a billion there, it doesn't make any difference. But the whole idea is he's battling that as a soldier. I hope he gets saved and becomes a Christian soldier. It was said by a soldier in a letter in 1865 from William Tecumseh Sherman to U.S. Ulysses Grant. Quote, I knew wherever I was that you thought of me. And if I got in a tight space, you would come. If alive. And here's the unwritten, unspoken contract that you don't leave anyone behind. You don't leave one dead or alive in the hands of the enemy. Mm-hmm. You see, the parade soldier wants honor. This doesn't deserve the honor. You got to earn honor. Got to have courage. Got to stand and do something. Mark Twain says, it is better to deserve honors and not have them than to have them and not deserve them. Yeah, amen. And that's what we're doing, the honorable congressmen, you know, so forth. No, they aren't honorable at all. And the crooked judges, too. Same thing's going on. So here's the frontline soldier. Praise God for him. Amen. He can't get entangled with the world. We got to watch we don't get entangled with the world and let that take over our energy, our time, our finances, everything else. We need to be Christian soldiers. We got a war that we're in. And we need to be good soldiers for sure. To be a good soldier, you got to have unity. You can't be shooting your own kind. During World War II, the Frenchmen and the English and the Italians, they couldn't get along. A lot of pettiness going on. You gotta be united to fight those battles. You read there in the Old Testament and the battles that were going on, there had to be a join of forces of different ones, their name there, to fight a certain battle. They all went ahead and had unity for that purpose. Go to Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and in verse 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Yeah, the word one means unity, brother. We need to get along within the church. We need to have a church that's not fussing about little things, and different members and so forth. How about loving one another? How about helping one another? That's what God tells us to do. Look at Ephesians. The next book, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there's only one body. We got to get along. We got to put aside silly things that are different between each one of us. Get our focus on the Lord Jesus and follow our captain. Because we're soldiers. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Christians need to grab arms, our arms, and go ahead and work for the Lord. And get along, and there's more strength in numbers. So we put all of our heads together, all our hearts together, and all our bodies together, and go ahead and live for God, that He might be pleased with us. Not to impress others, but to obey God. There's something else about being a good soldier, and that's loyalty. Loyalty. We need to protect. We need to protect others. We need to stand against those forces of evil. Take every opportunity you can to stand against evil. When you see evil, stand against it. Let it be known. Don't let them get away with things that are obviously wrong. You got to be loyal to the Lord, loyal to one another. Got families. Be loyal to your family. Loyal to the land that you live in. Loyal to freedom. Loyal to your faith. No. Propagation of the gospel, witnessing to others, trying to reach them. Be a soldier, be strong, endure the hard things that are going to come in life. Brother, if I got to go through hard things, I want to do it for the right reason. I don't want to do it just for myself or something selfish. I want to do it for the Lord. At least I know there's going to be a reward on the other side for everything I went through for Him. Something about a soldier. Fear can come into him. And he can go absent without leave. AWOL. AWOL. Go to Psalm 78 if you would. Book of Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78 and in verse 9 says, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turn back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown unto them. They didn't go forward. They aren't good soldiers. They had the arms. They were armed. If there was guns in that day, they'd have guns. But they didn't. They had bows. And they turned back in the day of battle, brother. We don't need people that are going to run away. Run away and hide. Think of yourself rather than being loyal. And going ahead and battling for the Lord. Go to 1 Kings chapter 2, please. 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, verse 1. It says, Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Got to watch out about fear. A soldier can fear, but he's to make himself strong against that. Every hero has fear of the enemy and what he's walking into. But he has courage to go through that fear and get the job done. Win the battle. Protect those that cannot protect themselves. There's many wounded out there in that battlefield. You know who goes to help the wounded that have been injured and shot and not killed? Those that aren't armed. They have no protection. They call for the Red Cross and others. They go to their wounded. And they try to patch them up the best they can. They get them out of danger. They pull them behind rocks or something else so that they won't be injured again. But they put themselves in danger for others, for their own kind, those that are fighting the battle. A good soldier has a responsibility to carry out the orders that were given to him. There has to be a commitment in a soldier's heart. When it came time for Paul to die, he said, Demas has forsaken me. Turn back in the day of battle. You find out who your real friends are when it's the last days of your life. Those that you thought you could count on. We've got to be good soldiers. We need to fight the devil. We need to fight the influences on our churches and our families. We need to care enough about our families to talk to them about their soul, about coming to church. Don't let unsaved relatives in your family keep you away from church. You're to be the influence. You influence them to come. But yet, so many are parade soldiers, not willing to fight the battle. You be faithful to God. Things of the world can come after God. A good soldier is going to have concern. He's going to prefer one another in love, the Bible says. You think about your buddy in battle because he's relying on you and you're relying on him. The buddy system. You need to pray for those that are wounded. Not supposed to sit back and gossip about them, run them down. Pray for them, help them. They've been wounded. In one way or another, through one situation or another. A lot of blood has dripped. There hasn't been those to be able to help. Many wars have been lost because of it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 4, please. Paul writes and says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." He says our weapons that we're supposed to use. Look at verse 4. Has to do with the heart. Has to do with the mind. You know what the devil's after? He's after your thoughts. He's after your mind. He wants you to think on the things of this old world and keep your attention away from God and what can be done for God while you're still alive down here on planet Earth. You're going to be a good soldier. You have to know your enemy. What do you do with that brain? You get knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Know your enemy. Be a good soldier, you better know your enemy. Know what he's known for doing, how he works, how he moves, how he plans. You got to watch out when you're in battle as well, that you don't shoot your own buddy. Friendly fire. You just can't wade into something, guns blazing. Without having the right target and not having the right weapon. Go to Ephesians 6. Hang with me, be done pretty soon. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in the world." This against spiritual wickedness in high places. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Armor. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. No running away, no excuses. You just stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You got a pen with you, underline truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, underline righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, underline gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, underline faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, underline salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, underline Word of God. Praying always with all prayer, underline prayer, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, underline perseverance, and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Remember, I told you, you better know your enemy and know your weapon, brother. Know your weapon. Don't shoot yourself. And don't shoot the brother or sister with you. They're in the same fight. We're supposed to be fighting together against spiritual wickedness. You got to know the weakness so you can attack the weakness. And you need to know your weakness as well, because that's where the Satan's going to look for the crack in the armor. You got to know the strategy, because he wants to wound. A lot of enemies don't try to kill you. They try to wound the guy so that others will come to his rescue, and then he can shoot both of them. Wicked stuff going on, brother. Uphold one another. Pray for one another. That's the weapon of attitude. Doesn't do any good if you're a soldier and you got a bad attitude. Don't need that in an army, I'll guarantee you. Because that spreads. We're talking about morale now. You know, in World War II, there was Tokyo Rose, she come over and get on the speakers to the soldiers in that battle, and they get information. She get information on those guys. They try to they talk to them, talk to the troops about their family back home, and you need to just go ahead and give up because your wife Sally. You know, she just had that little child. You didn't know that, did you? And on. Tried to get the morale down of the troops. You had Tokyo Rose, you had Axis Sally. They did that. In Korea, they had Korea Carla. And it was all spreading propaganda. Lies. Just like they do to our school children in the public schools. Teaching them all this stuff about sex and you don't know what sex you are and all this kind of, it's all propaganda. It's all lies. There's a battle going on. But here, look at those weapons. Remember I said you got to know your weapon? Amen. So you watch out about gossip, don't you? That weapon of attitude. Then you got the weapon of prayer. Is that what it says? Amen. Then you got a weapon of faith. You got a weapon of love. You got a weapon of divine anointing, the Holy Spirit that lives within you. That's where you get your power, is the Holy Spirit. That's why God gives it to you as soon as you get saved. And He wants that Holy Spirit to completely consume you. He calls it the filling of the Holy Spirit. That you can be a dynamo for God. You just keep on being a good soldier day after day, year after year, faithful. Good soldier against the enemy. Romans 7:23, Paul says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." What kind of soldier are you this morning? What kind of soldier are you going to be? Need to have these things in your life. Be aware of them. Make the right decisions to please God, not yourself or someone else that's even lost. You please the Lord first. So we need not to be just a parade soldier. We need to be a frontline soldier. We need to have unity. We need to have loyalty. We need not to run away and go AWOL, not get in the battle. Not to let fear keep us away from being a good soldier. We need to have concern for one another. We need to know our weapons that we can use. God's equipped us. Put on the armor. Use what He gave you. If you're saved, you've got these available to you. What will you do? Onward, Christian soldier. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that we can know. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for impressing on our lives what we should be doing for You before we meet You. Lord, You are the only one that can give the victory. We can fight the battles. You've told us to. Endure hardness. But the victory You will give. I pray that You might bless everyone that does that and obeys You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Take your hymn books, please. Number 316, 316.